नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स।
Today we should talk about when we should practice Vipassana meditation or mindfulness meditation. If someone asks this question, when should we practice Vipassana meditation? The answer is to free from all kinds of suffering. Because we want to free from all kinds of suffering, both mental and physical phenomena, we should practice Vipassana meditation. Then we should know how the Vipassana meditation or mindfulness meditation or insight meditation enable a meditator to get free from all kinds of suffering, both mental and physical. Then we should know what the suffering is. Suffering is of two types, both one suffering is mental and the other is physical. Physical suffering such as pain, stiffening, numbness, itchiness, any kind of disease, illness, sickness, according to the Buddha's teaching, old age, disease, worry, disease, any kind of a disease, any thing which is harmful to physical discomfort, all these are suffering, physical suffering. Mental suffering such as sorrow, worry, distress, dejection, disappointed, depression, despair, insecurity, fear, and so on. All these are mental suffering. None of human beings likes these mental suffering and physical suffering. Everyone wants to get rid of it, rid of both of these sufferings. Everyone tries to get free from both of these mental and physical suffering. And anyway, on every day, but in pain. So this Vipassana meditation, insight meditation, is the only way that leads human beings to the cessation of all kinds of this suffering. It's a way of overcoming suffering. It's a very natural, rational, so it's a very much effective. Then here we say there are two types of suffering: mental suffering and physical suffering. Mental suffering is called Dhammanasa in Pali. Physical suffering is called Dukkha in Pali. So sometimes physical suffering produces mental suffering. Other times mental suffering produces physical suffering. But mental suffering is much more than physical suffering in the world. Because if one is wealthy, rich, in the world, and is a billionaire, but if he is sick or ill, he cannot have any happiness. He is full of suffering, both physical and mental. That physical discomfort, sickness or illness produces his mental suffering. So, if however wealthy you may be, you cannot get free from suffering. If you are not able to rightly understand the nature of a bodhiman process. If you are able to rightly understand the true nature of a bodily and mental phenomena, you are sure to get rid of both mental and physical suffering. Occasionally, you may have some mental suffering, but it doesn't affect your mind. So you have no mental suffering at all. Because you rightly understand the true nature of a bodily and mental phenomena. So in the Buddha's teaching, the right understanding of a phenomena is the most important factor to free from all kinds of these suffering, both mental and physical. Yes, mental suffering is much more than physical suffering. Then what are the mental suffering? The Buddha said mental sufferings are mental defilements. When the mind is defiled, not purified, it's a suffering. When the mind is a purified, when you have a pure mind, authority of a mind, then you have a God rid of a suffering. So, what makes the mind defiled? Yes, the mind gets defiled because of undesirable negative mental states, such as greed, desire, craving, lust, love, attachment, hatred, anger, aversion, ill will, conceit, wrong view, skeptical doubt, sloth and temper, restlessness and remorse, and morally shamelessness, morally fearlessness. These mental states, which are undesirable negative mental states, are called defilement because they make the mind defiled. When the mind is full of these undesirable negative mental states, you are sure to suffer in your mind. You are sure to suffer mentally. So they are called mental defilement. In Pali, we say lobha, dosa, moha, mana, ditthi, vicikicca, tinamitta, udaccha, kukkuccha, ahirika, natappa, and so on. These are translated into greed, desire, craving, lust, love, anger, hatred, aversion, ill will, conceit, skeptical doubt, sloth and temper, and so on. So when you have greed for something, then you have to make attempt to get it. Sometimes you may get it, sometimes you may not get it. If you get the thing you have desire for, you think you are happy. Actually, you have to keep it in safety so that no one destroy it, no one steal it. No fire burns it, no floods takes away it, and so on. That responsibility to protect this thing from being destroyed by any means is also suffering. That suffering arises depending on the desire or greed you have in your mind to have it, to possess of these things. So, this greed or desire, craving, is a suffering. In the same way, attachment is in the same the same sense as desire, craving, and so on. If you are attached to anyone or anything, you are sure to suffer about it. So if you are attached to your house, you are sure to suffer about this house. If the house is destroyed by flood or fire or any enemies, then you suffer about this house because you are attached to it. So the attachment itself is a suffering, and it's also the cause of a suffering. Then anger, when the anger arises in you, or when you are angry with someone or something, then you are suffering because the anger makes you unhappy, make you suffer. So the anger itself is suffering. Because of this anger, you may do evil thing, or you may kill someone or some animal. Then you will be suffering. Why does this suffering? Why do you have this suffering? Because of that anger or hatred, aversion, ill will, so on. In this way, all these negative, undesirable negative mental states themselves are suffering, and they are the causes of suffering. Out of these mental defilements, the immediate cause of suffering is attachment. We call it as lobha or tanha in Pali. Lobha or tanha covers all the senses of lust, greed, desire, craving, attachment, and the like. So this lobha or attachment is the immediate cause of suffering. Whenever you have this attachment or lobha, you are sure to suffer. So the Buddha said, this lobha or attachment is a samudaya satya, the truth of the cause of suffering. Whatever suffering may be, its cause is lobha or attachment. So, if we want to get rid of suffering, we have to remove the cause of suffering. The cause of suffering are mental defilements, which are negative mental states. Then what, when we do not want to get our mind defiled with this mental defilement, we have to remove this defilement. To remove this mental defilement, what should we do? We should eradicate the cause of this defilement. When the cause is destroyed, there won't arise any defilement at all. When there is no defilement, there is no suffering at all. Then we are free from suffering. So to do away with these mental defilements, we must find out its cause. What causes this defilement to arise? The causes of a defilement is the idea of I, or you, me, or mine, person or being, self or soul. This idea of a personality, individuality, self or soul, is the cause of all kinds of mental defilement. Based on this idea of I, or me, or mine, person or being, self or soul, there arises any of these mental defilements. So, this wrong view of a personality, individuality, self or soul, is the cause of mental defilements. If we are able to eliminate this idea of a person, a being, a self or a soul, there won't arise any defilement at all. When there is no defilement, there won't be suffering at all. Then, how can we remove this idea of a person, a being, a self or a soul? We should find out what is the cause of this wrong view of a personality, individuality, self or soul. If we are able to overcome or burn down the cause of this wrong view of a personality, individuality, there won't arise any mental defilement at all. Then we have to find out what causes this wrong view to arise, or what's the cause of the wrong view of a personality, individuality, self or soul, which is called Sakkaya Ditthi, Adda Ditthi in Pali. The cause of the wrong view of a person, a being, a man or a woman, a self or a soul, is ignorance. We call it avijja in Pali. Sometimes we call it moha. So, ignorance of both mental and physical phenomena leads us to take the two phenomena to be a person, a being, a self or a soul. When we are able to rightly understand this mental and physical phenomena, which constitutes so-called a person, a being, a self, a man or a woman, then we won't have any idea of a person or being, self or soul. Then there won't arise any mental defilement. Because we do not rightly understand, or because we are ignorant of this dual process of mentality and physicality, so we identify this dual process with me or my, you, he, him, a person, a being, a man or a woman, a self or soul. If we are able to replace ignorance with right understanding of body-mind process, there will not arise any idea of a person or being, self or soul. So what we need is to rightly understand mental and physical phenomena and their true nature. If these dual process of mental and physical phenomena is rightly understood, then the ignorance has gone. The right understanding replaces the ignorance. When there is no ignorance, there won't have any idea of a person being a self or a soul. In other words, if we are able to rightly understand mental and physical phenomena and their true nature, we don't take them to be a person, a being, a nine or a you, a man or a woman. Then we have removed the wrong view of a person or being, self or soul, which is the cause of a suffering. Where we are able to remove this wrong view, there won't arise any mental defilements which are the cause of suffering. When there's no mental defilement, there's no suffering at all. Then we are free from all kinds of suffering. So what we should strive is to realize or to rightly understand mental and physical phenomena and their true nature. Then, what should we do to realize or rightly understand this dual process of a mental and physical phenomena and their true nature? Then here, we should define what does right understand means, or we should define the meaning of a right understanding. What do you mean by right understanding? By the word right understanding, the Buddha means that understanding anything as it really is. That's the right understanding. Understanding anything as it really is the right understanding. So the Buddha used the word Yathābhūtā in Pali. Yathābhūtā means as it really is, or as it is. Rūpaṁ bhikkhave yathābhūtaṁ pajānāti, the Buddha said. Rūpaṁ here means the physical phenomena. Bhikkhave means the monks. Yathābhūtaṁ means as it is. Pajānāti means know or realize. So it means that, O monks, you should realize physical phenomena as it really is. That's the right understanding. In the same way, Vedana bhikkhave yathābhūtaṁ pajānāti, and so on. O monks, you should realize feeling or sensation as it really is. Sanya bhikkhave yathābhūtaṁ pajānāti. O monks, you should realize perception as it is. That's the right understanding. Then the Buddha said, Sankara bhikkhave yathābhūtaṁ pajānāti. Sometimes he said, Sankara bhikkhave yathābhūtaṁ sammapaññāya tathāpa. In the same sense. O monks, you should realize mental formations as they really are. Then again, the Buddha said, Vinyanam bhikkhave yathābhūtaṁ pajānāti. O monks, you should realize consciousness as it is. This is the right understanding of a consciousness. According to Buddhist philosophy, these five aggregates constitute so-called a person, a being, a man or a woman, a self or soul. There are five kinds of aggregates. The first one is the aggregates of physical phenomena or material phenomena. The second, aggregates of a feeling or sensation. The third, aggregates of a perception. The fourth, aggregates of a mental formation. The fifth, aggregates of nation. All of these five aggregates must be thoroughly realized as they really are. Yathābhūtaṁ tathāpaṁ. If one is able to realize these are five mental aggregates, five aggregates as they really are, he has a right understanding. He rightly understands five aggregates as they really are. When we rightly understand five aggregates as they really are, he won't take any of the five to be a person, a being, a man or a woman itself also. Because this is not a person, not a being, not a man, not a woman. What's there? This is just a physical phenomena. Feeling or sensation, perception, mental formations, consciousness, that's all. All these are mental and physical phenomena which are arising in person with one after another. If you see them in this way, you won't take them to be a person, a being, a self or a soul, a man or a woman. Then you have removed the idea of a person or being self or soul, which is the cause of all defilements. When you have removed this idea of a person or being, there won't arise any defilement at all. If where there's no defilement, there's no suffering at all. Suffering ceases to exist here. So, what you need is to rightly understand mental and physical phenomena as they really are. Then what should we do to rightly understand this dual process of mental and physical phenomena as they really are? The Buddha teaches us the best and the easiest and simplest way of rightly understanding these phenomena as they really are. That is a mindfulness meditation. The Buddha elaborates this way of right understanding of both mental and physical phenomena in his discourse of the four foundations of mindfulness, Mahasatipatthana Sutra. So the Buddha teaches us to be mindful of what's happening to our mind and body as it really occurs, moment to moment, so that we can rightly understand any mental states or physical process, or any mental phenomenon or physical phenomena as it really is. So, this mindfulness of mental and physical phenomena is called the only way that leads us to eradicate the idea of a person or being self or soul and remove all mental, destroy all mental defilements. That's we call it a mindfulness meditation. Whatever arises in our body and mind must be mindful of as it really occurs. The purpose is to rightly understand these mental states and physical processes as they really are. When we are able to rightly understand this embodiment process and its true nature, we won't take any of the process to be a person, a being, a self, or so a man or a woman. In this way, right understanding of mental and physical phenomena leads us to remove the idea of a person of being self or soul. Then there won't arise any mental defilement at all. So here we should know, or we should rightly understand the principle of this mindfulness meditation, or vipassana meditation, or insight meditation. The purpose of this meditation is to realize or to rightly understand both mental and physical phenomena and their true nature, or as they really are. So, the principle of this insight vipassana meditation, a mindfulness meditation, is to be mindful of, to be aware of whatever arises in our body and mind as it really occurs. We should rightly know or understand the technique of this mindfulness meditation. To be mindful of, to be aware of any activity of a body and mind as it really occurs. It's the principle. Any activity of a body and mind must be attentively observed, must be attentively watched, must be mindful of, must be aware of as it really is. That is the principle of this mindfulness meditation. Based on this principle, we have to observe how we have to be mindful of any mental states or physical process which is predominantly arising at this moment as it really is. If we are able to be mindful of all mental states and physical processes as they really are, moment to moment, our mindfulness becomes continuous, constant, and sustained. That on any mental states or physical process, when the mind is deeply concentrated on any mental states or physical process which is observed, there arises the insight which realizes that mental states or physical process as it really is. This is a right understanding. So what we should do is to be mindful of, to be aware of any mental states or physical process which is arising at this moment as it is, without failure. But to practice this mindfulness meditation, to make it easier we give, yes, we instruct our meditators to take the rising and falling movement of the abdomen as the object of the primary object of meditation. This is just a primary object of meditation. This is not a single, only a single object of meditation. It's a one of many varieties of mental states and physical process, which are the object of meditation. When there is no other mental states or physical phenomenon to observe or to be mindful of, then meditator must observe this abdominal movement, making mental note as rising and falling. When the abdomen rises, note rising. When abdomen falls, note falling. Noting or labeling is not vipassana, but it helps the mind, or the noting mind, to focus on the object of meditation very precisely, closely and attentively. That's why we have to use this labeling or noting to help the mind to focus the object. But when our meditative experience is an advanced stage, then we may drop it. We may not label, we may not note, but we will be able to just be aware of what's happening to our body and mind as it is. But in the beginning, in the middle part of the practice, meditator needs to label or note or make a mental note of the object so that the mind very precisely focus on this object. So in this way, while we are sitting, while we are standing, while we are walking, while we are lying down, we have to be mindful of any mental states or physical process which is arising at that moment as it is. The purpose is to rightly understand it and its true nature. As I told you, when our concentration becomes deep enough through continuous and constant mindfulness for certain period of time, then we come to realize the true nature of bodily and mental phenomena. That true nature is of three types, or three aspects. One is specific characteristic, or individual characteristics of body-mind process. The other one is general or common characteristics of a bodily and mental phenomena. The third one is the characteristics of arising and passing away. specific or general characteristic, specific or individual characteristic of bodily and mental phenomena is called sabhava lakshana in Pali. General or common characteristic of a bodily and mental phenomena is called samanya lakshana in Pali. The characteristic of rising and passing away is called sankhata lakshana. But actually, the sankhata lakshana is included and general characteristic. Because here, general or common characteristic refers to anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Anicca, impermanence, transience. Dukkha, suffering, or unsatisfactoriness. Anatta, no soul, no self, or impersonal nature. These are three characteristics belongs to all mental phenomena and physical phenomena. In other words, all mental phenomena and physical phenomena has these three characteristics in common. There, what is impermanent? Impermanent means the arising and passing away, appearance and disappearance. Any mental states, good or bad, arising now, then it very incidentally passes away. So it's impermanent. So anger, there arises the anger in your mind, then very instantly it passes away. But again it arises, then it passes away, then again it arises, it passes away. In this way, the anger is subject to rising and passing away, so it's permanent. If we know impermanence, it means we realize there's a rising and passing away, appearance and disappearance. Because we take any mental states or physical process to be impermanent because it arises and then passes away very instantly. So it's called impermanent. Then the impermanent refers to rising and passing away. So if we say general characteristics, impermanence, it includes sankhata lakshana, characteristic of rising and passing away. So the commentaries to the scripture mentions only both sabhava lakshana and samanya lakshana, because sankhata lakshana is included in samanya lakshana. So when our mindfulness becomes constant and continuous and powerful, the concentration on the object of meditation becomes deep enough. When the mind is deeply concentrated on any mental state or physical process, it's purified from defilement. When the mind is a purified defilement, the insight that arises together with that concentrated mind becomes a penetrating and sharp. So that insight penetrates or realizes, first of all, the specific or individual characteristics of any mental state or physical process which is observed. When concentrations become deeper, the inside knowledge penetrates or realizes general characteristic that is arising, passing away an impermanent, suffering, impermanent nature of bodily mental phenomena which are observed. So that's why we said there are two or three aspects of the true nature of a bodhimind process. One is a sabhava lakshana, specific characteristics. The other is a general characteristic, samanya lakshana. The other is the characteristic of arising and passing away, sankata lakshana. Out of these three, we will explain to you both specific characteristics and general characteristics. How a meditator experiences both of these characteristics of a bodhimind process. When his concentration is good enough, and it's a meditation. So today it's enough for us now, 7:05. So may all of you rightly understand the technique of this vipassana meditation and strive your best to be mindful of it, to be aware of whatever arises in your mind and body as it really occurs, and attain the cessation of all kinds of suffering, nibbana.